Welcome to Women Reconnecting, a show dedicated to helping women discover the missing link to wellness by taking listeners on a journey away from stress, fatigue, and overwhelm to a life they love. It's time to ascend from the daily stresses of life by reconnecting to your inner radiance so you can play full out and feel alive. With your host, the Reconnection Catalyst herself, Lisa Mizells. Hello and welcome to the Women Reconnecting Show. This is Lisa Mizells, founder of Femana and your host for the show. And today I'm really excited to welcome back one of my previous guests who really has so much wisdom to share. And she and I have spoken outside of the show, and this woman is one of the most warmest and generous and compassionate beings I've met. Now, my guest for this episode is Patricia Zimmerman, and she's an ordained minister, a metaphysical healer, teacher, life coach, author, and founder of White Dove Circle of Light and Love, a spiritual nonprofit organization where one can find true healing for the mind, body, and spirit. And she teaches classes on how to live life, looking at the self to bring about change. Her greatest teacher is life itself. And today she's going to be talking about how to use mirrors to navigate your way through life. And I love this topic. I asked her to come back and talk about this because it's super, super interesting to me. So everyone and everything in life is a mirror back to you to see what's really going on within you. And many people struggle through life because they don't know how to use their mirrors. So when you drive a car, you use your mirrors to navigate the way that you know where you're going, your destination. So Patricia says, why not learn to use your mirrors to navigate through life? And walking the spiritual path takes a lot of work. So it's not just prayer and meditation. It's being conscious of who you are and what you're creating at all times in your life. And we create through our thoughts, through our words, and through our actions. So think about what you are creating for your life. There are no accidents or coincidences in life, and there are no victims in life, only co-creators of circumstances. Everything we experience is a result of something we have created through thoughts, words, and actions of the past. So Patricia says, don't shoot the messenger. So we're going to learn how to use mirrors and see what's actually being reflected back to you. The only way to change your world is by changing you. And as you change, your world becomes more beautiful and more loving than you can have ever imagined. Life is a gift. Enjoy the ride. And I'm happy to welcome back to the show Patricia Zimmerman. Pat, how are you?
I'm doing very well. Thank you, Lisa. It's wonderful to be back again.
Well,
it was such a delight.
Oh, thank you. I'm so glad you're here. I really, really am interested in this topic, so I'm excited to hear. So let's jump in. You ready?
I'm ready.
Okay. So tell us, what exactly are mirrors in life and how and why we should use them?
Well, as you said, most people struggle through life because they don't know how to use their mirrors. They don't even know what they are. When you drive a car, you always use your mirrors as you're driving the car to navigate your way to your destination. Our mirrors are everyone and everything in life, because life is really an illusion. And so if we remember that, and we're here for our growth, not for everyone else, but we affect everyone else in the process, you'll be able to better understand why it's important to use the mirrors. So when you go home in life, the only thing that matters is not what you did in life, but what you've become in life. And that's why it's so important to be looking at the self at all times. Walking the spiritual path does take hard work, and it is not just prayer and meditation. It's always being conscious of who you are and what you're creating at all times in life. Walking the spiritual path brings about harmony and balance to life. It nourishes and feeds our true self. And when you're on your path, synchronicity takes place. Miracles happen. The spiritual path is a search for truth. It's knowing what your truth is and allowing others to live their truth. It's knowing the difference between absolute truth and our perception of what truth is. The spiritual path is finding meaning and purpose in life. It is the journey back to love, learning to love and respect everyone and everything in life, including you. It means becoming all of the God virtues: patience, compassion, forgiveness, humility, purity, and self-control, to name a few. We're always taught patience is a virtue, but how many of us consciously practice patience? To walk this path, you must live it. This is not easy to do because the spiritual path is filled with ups and downs, tears of joy and tears of sadness. Finding inner peace and a sense of calm during the many storms we face in life are the reward. It takes courage to walk this path because you must continually look at and evaluate yourself. You may have to admit that you're not the person you thought you were, and you may have to admit you make mistakes. We're all here to learn from our mistakes, not to wallow in them or pretend we don't make them. You must constantly look at yourself to monitor your thoughts, words, and actions. If you do not like your world, you have no one to blame except yourself, for you created your world through your thoughts, words, and actions. God gave us free will. The only thing he asked is that we be responsible for what we created. So again, everyone and everything around you in your world is symbolic of what is going on within you. Your body, your home, your car, your garden, animals, and friends, they all reflect different aspects or parts of you. Describe any one of them, and you describe some aspect of yourself, whether it be positive or negative.
Yeah, that's, you know, and I don't know if you're going to cover this, so you can tell me if you're going to cover it, but why is it so hard for us to look at all of ourself in, and especially the dark parts?
That's, again, because we don't want to admit that we make mistakes. It's so easy to find the fault in everybody else, but we don't want to look at the fault in us. And I think, for me personally, I think that's because people don't want to change. Even though they don't always like the situation they're in, they at least know how to control it and what to expect. We're right. Always so afraid of what, the unknown, and that's what the biggest fear, I think, that most men have.
Yeah, and I think that you're right. I think it's the fear of the unknown with any situation, especially, you know, when it's our life. So tell me about some examples of mirrors. Where can we find these mirrors?
Okay. In everyday life, the biggest example you have is your body. Illness or disease, and to me, disease is energy not flowing with ease, is a way of showing us negative emotions that we've stored in our body. We bury anger, blame, shame, guilt, hurt, and resentment, among many other fears within us. And we often deny those feelings to ourselves. We think we've let go of them, but we haven't. If you haven't let go of it within 18 to 24 hours of the trauma happening, you have not released it. You've only stored it in your body. And once these feelings all come together and gather and you get enough of them, they can show up as cancer, arthritis, a heart condition, or some other physical condition. In other words, every disease is a spiritual malady. Another example of a mirror are the people in your life, because often those qualities you do not like in another person are those that you really don't like about yourself. So when we criticize, blame, or judge others, we've not forgiven ourselves for something we may have done in the past. And for me, that includes past lives as well, since past lives are a very important part of what I do. Mm. When you feel it in your gut, it's your stuff. If for some reason anyone upsets you in any way, shape, or form, it's your stuff. You have to stop and look at what's really going on. Narrow it down. Say, okay, what is it I don't like about this person? He, she makes me this, makes me feel like this. You're starting to isolate down what it is, and then you turn it back to you and look at yourself, and then you'll see what you're doing. And when you shift and change and no longer do it, no one else is going to play that role for you. You will have learned the lesson. Mm-hmm. So when you feel it in your heart, then it's pure love, because love will never steer you wrong. It's time to look at the self. When you point the finger at someone else, there's always four pointing back at you. Another example of mirrors are your words. You can learn an awful lot by listening to your words. So, for instance, whenever you say, I can't, you never will. When you say, I always, you always will. I'm afraid means you have a fear, and when you say, I have, you own it, and this includes disease. Once we own something, it can be difficult to release. Think of how many people say, I have this disease or that disease.
Yeah.
They're not ready to release it if they own it. Yeah. If you must ask, why does this keep happening to me? Instead, you may want to ask, what lesson do I need to learn from this? Because remember, once the lesson has been learned, it goes away. Mm-hmm. Another good example would be your home or your car. The home represents the spiritual aspect of you, while your car represents the physical aspect of you. So both represent your world. So when we have an accident in our life, it says it feels like our world is crashing in on us. When we fall down, it says we feel like we're falling down in life. When we've broken a bone, it says we have a broken spirit. Mm-hmm. So if we get lost in life, driving somewhere or going somewhere, it says that we've lost our direction in life. When we take a wrong turn in life, where have we taken a wrong turn on our spiritual path?
Mm-hmm.
When you have a flat tire, who or what is releasing the air from out of you? Who took your breath away? What made you lose your breath? Mm. Every part of the car represents your physical body. Another example is your house. So how well do you keep your car clean? Also, how well do you keep your house clean? Where's your clutter? So the outside of the house represents what you want the world to see, while the inside of the house represents your relationships with others and with yourself. So, for example, the family room then represents your relationship with your family. The kitchen represents your creativity. The bathroom represents past situations stored deep within that we're not really ready to release most of the time. Bathrooms or basements and closets the same way. That's usually where we put all our junk. The bedroom represents the inner self, the soul, that part of you that nobody else knows. Fires represent feelings of burning anger stored within. Any kind of backed up pipes show us that we're not releasing old hurts. And overflowing water represents overflowing tears. Another example of a mirror is your garden. Do you have flowers in your garden or do you have weeds? If you have weeds, you better watch your thoughts. They're out of control. Another example are your pets, because animals can also take on our characteristics, but they can also take on our disease. Because they love us so much and they don't want to see us hurt, they will take it on for us. Animals learn by example. Needy pets have needy owners. Loving pets have loving owners. Pets without boundaries have owners without boundaries. And spoiled pets have owners who like to be spoiled. Very true. Animals can also take on our disease, as I've said. So what disease do they have? Then turn it around and look at whatever that disease represents, look at yourself. And the best thing you can do if you love your animal is ask them not to take on your disease for you, because then you don't get a chance to learn the lesson. Mm-hmm. You love them enough that you want to be able to do that for them as well. Yeah. So they also have their own thing, their own issues and emotions. We had two dogs at one time living in the house with us, and I always used to laugh because when they would get mad at each other, they would both wind up with a urinary tract infection exactly at the same time. And the kidneys represent being mad. So that's where that comes from. And it made me laugh because it always happened. It never failed.
That's funny.
Our dreams also are another way of mirroring for us. Because dreams are messages about our lives. If you have a recurring dream that keeps going, coming all the time, and it's a fear, it's representing a fear that you have in your life. There are different types of dreams. There are prophetic dreams, which provide warnings or advice. But most of these, very few people really have prophetic dreams. Usually when somebody has a dream about someone in their life, it really means what that person means to them, that aspect of themselves. Dreams can also be symbolic from spirit side. If you have a dream that you wake up in the middle, and you know, in the middle of the night, or the usually between times of the morning, and it's so profound and so real, you want to write that down and interpret it, because every part of that dream is important, including the way it made you feel. They don't come very often. I might get once a year, but there's a message in there for you. Dreams can also release mental and emotional stress, information that we feel at an inner level, and those are the types of dreams that most people have all the time. Mm-hmm. Nightmares reflect our strongest fears. And in nature, nature is another wonderful mirror, because you can look around. Has a bird or an animal come to you in a most unique way? I've seen a hawk come and sit on a mailbox. Hawks mm-hmm. don't come and sit on mailboxes. Mm-hmm. My brother had a hawk appear to him on his front porch one day. They don't do that. When they come like that, that's a sign. Hawks and owls are messengers from spirit. So you want to really pay attention when you see a message from a hawk or an owl. Robins and cardinals, when they gather around your house or wherever, they represent new growth coming in. Raccoons represent someone pretending to be something they're not. So everything in life is that mirror again. How many people get bug bites? Bug bites represent areas in our life where we feel guilty over the small things in life. Or you can always ask yourself, what's bugging me? Mm. If you have a lot of things bugging you, you'll get bitten. It's just a mirror back. When we lose power in a storm, it represents feeling powerless in some area of your life. Winds and represent the coming change. And how much wind have we had lately? Mm-hmm. Lightning and thunder break up energy blocks. Rain helps wash away the tears. And did you ever notice how clear the air feels after a storm? Mm. And how clear we feel inside after at the same time?
Yes, I love it.
Yes, the weather only works to release and clear the negative energy that we so wonderfully have been able to build up. Mm. The collective negativity is often absorbed by nature and then returned to us in a form of a disaster. For instance, like Hurricane Katrina, that happened because that was so negative, that area in New Orleans. There was so much political mess going on there within the people, within the government and everything else, that it's Mother Nature's way of saying, here, you've made a mess of my house, clean it up now. Mm, wow. But the end result is always people coming together. There's always a blessing in any disaster, because people come together and they work together and they build new relationships that weren't there before. They're usually very healing, although we don't look at it from that perspective.
Right. No, people do come. That's a good point. People always come together to help each other, and it brings out the best in people.
Right. With every disaster, there is always good that comes from it.
Yeah, that's interesting. And you mentioned hawks. I live in an area where there's hawks and eagles all over the place. And as I'm driving down the road, at certain times of the year, I see, you know, 20, 30 hawks. Just, mm-hmm. It's amazing. I love it.
Mm-hmm. I love it. And they're there, but when they come in an unusual way, that's when you want to really pay attention, because that's where the message is. Right. A lot of times, if you're seeing hawks all the time, you have hawk as a totem animal within your energy field. The hawk guides you, so it would be really good for you to look up what the hawk represents.
Yeah, I will do that. I think I have before. Yeah, interesting, very interesting. So let's talk a little bit more about our body. So what does our body tell us about ourselves?
Okay. Every part of our body tells us something different about what is going on a deeper level within us. So the way we carry our shoulders indicates the way we carry ourselves through life. Are we bent over with the burdens we carry through our life, or do we walk tall? When we get a neck ache, we can ask ourselves, who's being our pain in the neck, or if we're being stiff-necked about something or rigid in our way of thinking. Are we resisting someone or something? The skin is our filter. So you've heard the saying, he or she gets under my skin. When we feel irritated about someone or something, our skin can itch. When we're burning mad or boiling with rage, our skin can erupt with rashes or boils and can even become inflamed. Bones represent our foundation. They hold our beliefs. And often these bones are rigid and strong. A broken bone then is a sign of a broken spirit. A fractured bone is a sign of a spirit that's breaking. It also says that we have a belief that's out of alignment. Because remember, no one can make you feel bad except yourself. Joints are decision makers because they go either one way or the other. We should be very flexible in life, as our bones are. But when we resist doing what we know we should be doing, we experience pain in the joints. How many people have knee problems these days? Because they're resisting doing what they need to do, they know they need to do on a higher level. The legs move us forward in life. So when we have a problem with a joint, it just says we're resisting doing what we know we need to do. And prolonged resistance can wear down and damage the bone. So if you recognize it early enough, you can keep that knee or joint, whatever it may be, from creating damage to the physical body. So our legs move us forward in life, while our hands grasp things in life. Ankles and wrists represent whether or not we feel supported in life. In a situation that we're having trouble or with or grasping whatever is going on. Our back is the file cabinet then. We file away painful traumas and hurts we're not ready to release. So the closer to the neck, the more recent the situation, and the further down the back, the further back in time. We bury these things in the back because we don't want to look at them anymore. We want to push them to the back. The closer it is to the coccyx, the more painful the emotion that we don't even want to go look at. It hurt us too much, but we're not ready to release it. And when we release it, we should be releasing it through forgiveness, because that's what's freeing to the soul. Forgiveness doesn't mean what you did was wrong. Forgiveness just means, I don't want to hurt anymore, because you're the only one that's hurting. The other person probably doesn't even hurt. Our eyes represent the way we see things in life. So eye problems indicate that we don't like what we see in our lives or that we're afraid of what we see. When someone's nearsighted, they have a fear of the future. When someone is farsighted, they have a fear of the present. Ears have to do with what we hear or don't want to hear. If we expect to be hurt and rejected, we'll pick out words and interpret them with what we hear. If we expect to fail, we'll read failure into what we hear. Blood represents the joy in life. Cholesterol represents clogs in our joys of life, little things that are put in our way that we can't let go of, hurts and pains. Arteries harden when we put up a protective wall to keep from getting hurt. Deeply held fears are buried within our bodies. Negative, fear-based emotions are stored in the organs. Our kidneys hold feelings of being pissed off. The stomach holds that which we cannot stomach. The liver holds extreme anger. The intestines hang on to old stuff we're not ready to release. People who have problems eliminating cannot release. They cannot forgive, and that's why they have problems with that part of the body. The pancreas holds victimhood. The heart holds feelings of low self-esteem, low self-worth, and inflexibility, because usually people who are very inflexible have heart issues as well. They always have to be right. They don't want to hear any other side, and they can't admit that they're wrong. If we cannot love ourselves, we cannot truly love another. And if we do love ourselves, we don't need love from anyone else. Anything else that comes our way is a blessing. To be healthy physically, we need to eat the right foods, get enough exercise, and live in peaceful surroundings with enough stimulation and interest to keep us alert. We eat the way we feel. when we feel good about ourselves, we eat healthy and exercise. And when we don't feel good about ourselves, we eat unhealthy and we don't exercise. To be healthy on a spiritual level, we need to take time to meditate and pray. Both meditation and prayer are tools we can use to raise our vibration and to find peace within. When there's chaos in your world, there's chaos within. And when there's peace in your world, there's peace within. The mirrors demonstrated on our body's health represent opportunities to release negative, fear-based emotions. They're an opportunity to grow spiritually.
Yes, I love that. That's really, you know, now we're getting towards the end of our time, so I'm wondering where can they learn more about mirrors and how to use them?
You can purchase the book, Mirrors. You can learn a little bit more about the mirrors in the book, Self-Empowerment, The Only Way to Heal, that I wrote about. But we also, at White Dove Circle of Light, we have a workshop. It's an all-day workshop that we teach called Mirrors, How to Use Them to Navigate Your Way Through Life. We, at White Dove Circle, we offer many wonderful workshops offered in order to enhance spiritual growth. We have some of our keynote class workshops are the Mirrors class, the Emotional Anatomy and How It Affects the Physical Anatomy, Overcoming Fear and Understanding Addiction. Those are some of our keynote workshops that we offer that nobody else touches.
So, are those available online, or are they available just physically? Is there a way for people long distance to attend those? Mm-hmm.
Yes. We have a list of the classes and workshops offered on our website, as well as the monthly calendar of events. But all of the classes, the majority of them, are available via Skype or in person. Some classes, like our shamanic journeying, we prefer not to do it via Skype because it's more powerful when you're in person. Mm-hmm. But all of our workshops, like the ones I mentioned, are available via Skype.
Oh, that's wonderful. That's perfect. And I know you have a free gift, but before we get there, is there anything else that you wanted to tell the listeners about mirroring? We have about 2 minutes.
Okay. The most important thing I want to say is that the key to life is balance. So when we're out of balance, we feel our world is out of control, so we try to control others. Your inner world must be in balance with your outer world, because many of life's lessons have to do with balance.
Yes.
We must learn the balance between seriousness and fun, work and play, and giving and receiving in all areas of life. The only way to change your world is by changing you. And as you change, your world becomes more beautiful and more loving than you could ever imagine.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, that is so true. I know that, like I was mentioning before, taking a look inside, especially at those dark parts of what we don't want to look at, is a really important practice, because that helps bring the light to them. And
right.
Yeah, once you bring the light. So this was really interesting. I loved it. I love learning about mirrors, and I'm going to have to really pay attention as I go through my day today and look at all the different mirrors in life. And, you know, as you were going through talking about all these things, I'm thinking about my life and how where I was, you know, 10, 15 years ago reflected such a different part of me. And yeah, it's really so, so very true. So I'm going to put your email on how to get a hold of you on my blog at femana.com. And I know you have a free gift for our listeners.
Yes, we do. We have a sample size of our White Dove Hand and Body Balm. And most everybody that's used this just absolutely loves it. We do a great deal of this, and it's our way to help bring about healing in the world. This balm helps to heal on all levels, not just the physical level, because it's been infused with healing energy to help heal the mind, body, and spirit. The combination of healing energy and natural ingredients used can create many beneficial healing results. Why Dove Body Hand and Body Balm contains shea and coconut butters, grapeseed oil, and lavender essential oil. And it can be used for burns, rashes, fading scars, eczema, dermatitis, anything that you can imagine it works for, including pockets in your gum.
Wow, that's amazing. And I'll just tell the listeners, I have used this. Patricia sent me a wonderful little sample, and it's amazing. So go to the blog and get your free sample. It's wonderful. You will love it. And Patricia, thank you so much for being here.
Thank you very much for having me, Lisa. It's truly been my pleasure. And thank you for all the wonderful work that you are doing throughout the world. You are truly a gift to humanity. Oh, thank you.
You as well. See you later. Bye-bye.
Okay. Bye.
Listen to Women Reconnecting, the only show that talks about the missing link to wellness and fulfillment, with your host, the Reconnection Catalyst herself, Lisa Mizells, and her guests as they share what's working now to feel alive and fulfilled in life. Would you like to ascend from the daily stresses of life and discover how to stop merely existing and how to play full out so you can feel alive again? Listen as guests share simple tips to step up your wellness factor and excitement for living so you can create the life you want. This show is not intended to replace any medical advice from a licensed practitioner. Consult your doctor before trying something new. And welcome to this show of Women Reconnecting. I'm your host, Lisa Mizells, founder of Femana, a wellness company helping women recover their health, reclaim their vibrancy, and return to a life they love. And today, I'm going to be speaking with a fitness expert who's made a name for herself working with women in midlife, and she's going to be talking about how to flourish in your 50s. Now, Kim believes that a healthy life is a life that you'll love. She has been advising women in midlife on their health and wellness since the year 2000, working exclusively with women in their 50s. She specializes in coaching her clients to live their best life through a physical, mental, and emotional transformation. She empowers women to build confidence, resilience, hope, self-motivation, and make lasting changes to their health and well-being. Now, with a background in fitness, nutrition, and wellness coaching, Kim partners with her clients to discover new ways to improve their sleep, food, mood, and exercise habits. She has a master's degree in kinesiology with an emphasis in exercise science. She's a certified health and wellness coach and is the owner of Transformation Wellness for Women. I'd like to give a big welcome to my guest today, Kim Aceto. Welcome, Kim.
Thank you, Lisa. I'm so honored to be here. I'm so happy that you had me here today. Thank you so much.
Oh, you're so welcome. I'm glad that you are here because I think we have, you know, a similar focus with our audience, but with your specialty in fitness, that's not my expertise. So I'm really excited to kind of talk to you, and I know you do a lot more than just fitness, but you've got that expertise in the with your kinesiology and exercise science. So that's very cool. Yeah.
Yeah.
So you ready to jump in?
Sure. Sounds great.
Okay. So you talk about how to flourish in your 50s. So tell us what it means to flourish.
Mm-hmm. Well, you know, I have a background in, you know, exercise and nutrition and all of that. And I actually started off as a personal trainer. And I started getting into positive psychology and learning about that because I wanted to help my clients on a deeper level. And then when I started to, you know, research things in positive psychology, this word flourish came up a lot. And I was like, flourish? I've heard of that, right? Mm-hmm. Flourish. We kind of know what flourishing means. And you know, flourishing really means to be at optimal, not only health, but to be at optimal living. Mm. And when I talk about healthy living, you know, I'm really talking about the physical, mental, and emotional living, right? Yeah. And so I kind of recreated the word flourish to fit within the demographic that I serve, women in their 50s, like you introduced me. Mm-hmm. And so there's actually five things that I put together that I really believe it means to flourish in your 50s. So these are the five things. Okay. So when a woman is flourishing in her 50s, she feels in charge of her health and well-being, regardless of what's going on around her. Mm-hmm. She's happy with who she is and experiences a variety of positive emotions throughout the day, such as gratitude, peace, hope, and love. So you experience not only these different positive emotions throughout the day, but in a high quantity, which is lovely, isn't that?
Yeah.
The third thing is that when a woman in her 50s is flourishing, she believes in her capability of achieving her goals. And this is really important, Lisa. You know, she finds joy in the pursuit of mastery. Mm-hmm. She patiently presses on each day for the love of who she's becoming in the process. You know, what I do, Lisa, and what you do, you know, they're not quick fixes. You know, it's really about making lasting changes. And it's not always sexy. You know, you don't drop a lot of weight and you don't see these changes right away. So, but what I really get my clients to focus on is the joy of the process, right? Finding joy in creating new habits and getting the benefit of those new habits over time.
Right.
And who you're becoming, right, through the learning.
Exactly.
As we, you know, go through the process of improving ourselves, there's a lot of learning there, and to really be joyful in that pursuit of mastery, mm-hmm, of ourselves. The fourth thing is that a woman who's flourishing in her 50s is an active member of a strong community of women who generously give and receive in a safe, supportive, and non-judgmental environment. You know, Lisa, my demographic that I serve, you know, women in their 50s, they are not living the same midlife that their moms lived in their 50s, right? Mm-hmm. There was no internet back then. There was no Facebook and social media. Right. So, you know, the ladies that I serve now, they have a really unique opportunity to come together and talk about the things that they're going through, you know, to build a community, not just with the neighbors that they, you know, that they live with in their block, mm-hmm, in their neighborhood, mm-hmm, but actually we can come together online in a community, right? We can find women who are similar, like-minded and like-hearted, and that is a really beautiful thing. And to be able to talk about these things is so, so important,
yeah,
because you get to feel like, you know, it's not just me, you've been there too, or you are there too, and you understand. So that's really, really important, is having a community. And then finally, Lisa, you know, what it means to flourish, especially in your 50s as a woman, is that you're a part of something bigger than yourself. And, you know, a lot of my clients, you know, they hit midlife and, you know, a lot of changes are happening, which I'm sure I'll talk about a little bit about later. But one of those things is, you know, she's kind of recreating herself, right? She's reinventing herself. She's trying to figure out, okay, now what? You know, what is my purpose now? My kids have left the nest. I've been at my job for a long time. I've been married to the same person for a long time, oftentimes. And so, you know, to be a part of something bigger than yourself is really important too. So all of those things, Lisa, I really feel encompasses what it means to flourish in a woman's life.
I love those five different definitions of flourish. I think those fit perfectly, especially with the audience. I mean, and what you were saying about taking charge regardless of what's going on, it's kind of, you know, it's being able to respond versus react.
Absolutely.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. And I mean, you talk a lot about positive emotions and believing in yourself and who you're becoming. And that's so important. So you lead them through that whole transformation of physical, mental, emotional, you know, so that they can grow with their new habits.
Absolutely.
Yeah.
Yep. That's right.
That's awesome. Yeah. And so why do you say that the 50s are, you know, seem to be the best time for women to flourish?
Mm-hmm. Yeah, well, I kind of touched on this a little bit already, but excuse me. You know, before I was a wellness coach, I was a personal trainer. And during that time, I, you know, 90% of my clients were women in their 50s, but occasionally I'd have a younger woman who would come and work with me. And maybe it's a woman in her 20s or so, maybe early 30s. And you know, her life was a lot different than my clients in their 50s. You know, my the girls that came in their 20s, they wanted to, you know, come and work with me for a couple of months, and they wanted to look really great in their bikini, right? They wanted to go to the beach in the summer, especially I live in California. So, you know, we have these beautiful beaches and all of that. So it was a lot about the outside, right? It was a lot about looking good. You know, that was of high importance. And not to say that that's not of high importance to the ladies I work with now, because it is. In fact, my my clients want to look, feel, and perform at their best at their age, right? But, you know, something really special about women in their 50s, I believe, Lisa, is that unlike the woman in her 20s, for example, and of course, there's always exceptions, but by the time women hit their 50s, you know, there's all these different changes going on, like I was talking about. And I did not even mention menopause, right, which happens early 50s. But I believe, Lisa, that women, when they hit their 50s, they have earned three gifts. And these three gifts I believe women have earned in their 50s are wisdom, experience, and maturity. And again, like I said, not to say that a woman in her 20s doesn't have wisdom, experience, and maturity, but, you know, it takes some lifelong learning, right? It takes some experience. It takes some failures. It takes some self-discovery and, you know, all of those things really happen in that first half of life.
Right.
And what's so beautiful is that when you hit your 50s, you now can look back at the things that you've learned and the things that you know about yourself. And you have this wisdom, experience, and maturity now that you can use to really create this second half of life that is really what you want to make it.
Right.
And I just think it's the best time for a woman to make a change. And of course, you know, to flourish in her life, like the five things I talked about earlier.
Right. And I think life kind of pushes us towards that too, as the children get older and, you know, independent, like you said, you start looking at yourself saying, okay, well, I've spent my life raising children. What am I all about? And so it's a huge self-discovery period.
Absolutely.
Yeah.
Absolutely.
So what would you say is the number one thing that prevents women in this age group from flourishing?
Well, Lisa, you know, the thing that comes up time and time again is, I believe, is a lack of self-care.
Yep.
I think that is the number one thing that holds women back in many areas of their life. But of course, the area that I work with them on is flourishing, is to have optimal health and well-being, physically, mentally, and emotionally. So, you know, a lack of self-care once in a while is not detrimental, right? It's okay. You put yourself on the back burner once in a while. It's not that big a deal. It's kind of like having a donut once a month or once a week even. You know, I mean, are you going to gain 100 pounds, 50 pounds from that? I mean, probably not, okay? But there's something called the compound effect, which means and this can be in a positive or a negative way, but it means the things that we do every single day, they add up.
Yep.
And over time, they lead you down a certain path. And the tricky thing is that these decisions and actions or lack of action are so subtle that we don't even see them on a day-to-day as we live day to day, right? We don't really see them happening. It's kind of like, oh yeah, you know what? I'm not going to exercise today because I don't really feel like it. Or, you know, I'm not going to cook dinner. I'm going to go through the fast food drive-through, because, you know, it's little things like that. Mm-hmm. And of course, I'm talking about the physical things, but of course, the mental and emotional things, like, you know, I'm gonna spend more time at work. I have to get these things done, right. Even though I really want to read this book or I really need to unwind. You know, and again, there's times for that. There's seasons for that. But over time, Lisa, it putting your needs last, not having enough time for yourself, really an imbalance of giving and receiving, you know, when you're giving of your time, energy, duties, but you're not receiving in the same amount, mm-hmm. right? Either from others or from yourself, more importantly. And then I also see a lack of self-care, Lisa, being not being gentle with ourselves, mm-hmm. you know, punishing ourselves when we don't live up to our own expectations or the expectations of others. We tend to be really hard on ourselves. And I think that that also goes under a lack of self-care. So, you know, again, Lisa, once in a while, of course, we're all hard on ourselves. Of course, we put our needs last at times. Of course, you know, there's days that we don't have 5 minutes for ourselves. But over time, this can be really detrimental to a woman's health and happiness. And that's the number one thing that I see with almost every woman that works with me is a lack of self-care.
And I couldn't agree with you more. It's interesting. I'm writing a signature talk, and so I'm doing some research, and they've done a lot of surveys, just all over the place in different, you know, jobs and, you know, different areas. But they found that people know that they need to eat healthy, and they know that they need to exercise, and they know that they need to sleep enough, but that is the last priority. That self-care, that piece of self-care, right. is the last priority on their list. Work is more important. Mm-hmm. You know, gosh, you really have to stop and think, you know, what is life about?
Right.
Yeah.
Absolutely.
Crazy. Mm-hmm. So what other kind of mistakes do you see women making?
Well, I talked about the compound effect. I mean, that's really important. And our habits are really important. Mm. You know, a lot of my clients feel overweight, overworked, and or overwhelmed. Sometimes all three, sometimes just one. But you know, what I try to do is I try to take my clients out of overwhelm. And they're kind of like, well, how do I take myself out of overwhelm when I have so many things to do? And, you know, how I don't have time to start exercising. I don't have time to cook meals. I don't have time to read fun books, you know, or books that are going to help me grow. Okay. So time is a huge thing, right?
Right. Yep.
but the point is that what I do with my clients is I help them create habits, healthy habits, around sleep, food, mood, as far as stress and exercise more, you know, in particular. Mm-hmm. But, the great thing about habits is that first of all, we all have them, whether it be brushing our teeth every morning and every evening or, you know, taking a shower, you know, we all have these habits that we don't even really realize sometimes. And it's like, okay, like brushing your teeth, for example, if you didn't have that good habit of brushing your teeth, what would happen? I mean, your teeth would fall out, but you know, we've developed these habits over time and they've helped us, and they're so easy. They're so automatic that we don't even know what life would be like if we didn't have them, because they're just so automatic. And of course there's quote unquote bad habits that we might have, like, you know, watching too much TV or, you know, not exercising or not taking care of ourselves in whatever way. But, you know, it's really about our habits, because if we can get our habits, our healthy habits, to be automatic, like getting to bed at a certain time every night or, you know, eating something for breakfast every morning that's, you know, even easy or, you know, healthy to get yourself off to a good start. You know, a walk after dinner, whatever it is, if you can start to get yourself into these automatic habits that you don't have to think about. But the great thing is that they compound, like I said earlier, over time, and you get to reap the rewards when you're not even really having to try. So that's what's so beautiful about habits. So underestimating the power of healthy habits, I think, is a huge mistake. And then I have another one to share if we have a moment, but I'm not sure if we need to move on.
No, go for it.
Okay, sure. Thank you. The other thing I see a lot, Lisa, is not having accountability. Mm-hmm. And most women, we need accountability from the outside. So while some of us can hold ourselves accountable to things, most of us, especially women, we need outside accountability. So we need someone to know what we're working on. We need someone to check in on us, to make sure that we're doing what we really want to be doing. You know, I'm a coach, but I also have a coach, kind of like a doctor needs a doctor, a dentist needs a dentist. Well, a coach also, I believe, needs a coach because I too need accountability. I need to make sure that I am doing the things that I said I'm going to do. Yeah. And, you know, accountability, but also having guidance and support. I mean, that's really important because we get stuck a lot of times. We don't know what to do, or we don't know how to move forward, or we keep making the same mistake. And so it's really important to have the accountability, but also to have ongoing support and guidance along the way as we're working toward a flourishing life.
Yeah, no, that's a really good point, because you get so much further ahead when you do have somebody that you're accountable for or to, mm-hmm. to mm-hmm. accountable to. I know if I'm working on a project and it's just left for me, I'm organized and I'm focused, but if I have to report to somebody,
right,
you know, it's gonna, yep. that's gonna, you know, that's gonna make me even more focused and,
right.
and, you know, prioritize that way. But no, I love what you say about having healthy habits become automatic, because I think it's the awareness factor. Like women that work with you may not even know that some of their habits are things that could be destructive. Things mm-hmm. like, you know, watch, they may not know that too much TV is, you know, or that the amount of what they're watching is too much. So that becoming aware piece is really, really important. And then shifting that. And then, so you're helping them shift that to something that is a healthier habit, and then guiding them so that it becomes something that's automatic. And how long? I hear that's about 21 to 28 days. Mm-hmm. Is that about right?
Well, you know, it's very interesting. It takes anywhere between 21 days and 1 year to develop a healthy habit. And, you know, we talk about New Year's resolutions and all that. And of course, you know, I don't work in a gym anymore, but I did for several years. And of course, you know, January, the gyms are filled, and then February less, and then March less. And so the thing is, Lisa, it's not that people don't want to make healthy changes in their lives. They do. Mm-hmm. And it's not that they don't lack motivation, because they have motivation. They are inspired. They do want this for themselves. But most people quit too soon before the habit is established. And that is why they quit. And so that's why accountability and guidance and support along the way is so important.
And your community, right? I mean, in the community, Absolutely. The encouragement of the community.
Yes.
Just kind of bouncing things off other people. Oh, I'm frustrated with this, you know, and other people coming in saying, oh, keep going, you know.
You're right.
There. Yeah,
exactly. Really. Exactly.
So you mentioned some healthy habits. You mentioned, you know, eating right and sleeping and exercise. What are some other healthy habits that women in their 50s need to do in order to, you know, really not only just look better, but feel better and function at their mm-hmm. best?
Right, right. Yeah, I'm glad you brought that up, because like I said, well, I didn't touch on this really, but my clients in their 50s, the ladies that I work with, do they want to look great? Yes, they want to look their best, right? But also they want to feel good. And, you know, they're not in their 20s anymore. Their bodies are declining. That's what happens. Our bodies age. And so they don't feel as good as they used to feel. And their bodies, as far as performing, you know, their bodies don't perform as well as they used to either. And you know, as far as how they move, how they feel when they're sitting, you know, all of those things. Mm-hmm. So anyway, what I do with my clients is, well, let me just tell you this first. Before, when I was a personal trainer, I used to think that it was just all about fitness, right? Exercises, workouts, and nutrition.
Yep.
Meal plans. Like, this is what you're supposed to eat if you want to look your best and feel your best, right? And perform your best. And this is how you need to work out. And this is what I'm going to provide for you.
And that'll cure everything, right?
Exactly. Exactly. Right. Right. Yeah. And so while my clients were, I mean, this is a whole nother thing and I won't get into it, but basically while my clients were looking better and all of that, they still were not satisfied. And, mm-hmm. and that's how I got into wellness coaching. But you ask about the, you know, the other areas besides nutrition and exercise, sleep is huge. Sleep is huge. And right now we have a sleep revolution going on, no pun intended, because that's actually Arianna Huffington just came out with a new, a book. I don't know if you saw that. I think it's called The Sleep Revolution.
Oh, no.
She wrote a book, Thrive, after she injured herself due to a lack of sleep. She actually collapsed from exhaustion on her laptop and broke her cheekbone. And so she started this whole sleep revolution. Mm. But anyway, sleep is so important, Lisa. And, you know, it's funny because in our society, in the U.S. especially, I think that we praise lack of sleep. We yep. praise like pushing through and, mm-hmm. You know, it's praised, you know. Yeah. And really, it's really, really hurting us. Mm-hmm. It's hurting us in so many ways. And we think, okay, well, you know, I don't need that much sleep. But most people, like 99% of people need 7.5 to 8.5 hours of sleep every night, but most people do not get that much. And of course, can we function? Can we do all of the things? Yes, but when we don't get the right amount of sleep every night, we just, our stress increases.
Yeah.
Our cortisol levels are high, so we're more likely to choose unhealthy foods mm-hmm. Because we want comfort. Right, we don't want to choose a healthy meal because it doesn't feel as good as right. choosing the unhealthy meal. That's going to satisfy us now. Right. We don't feel like exercising when we don't get enough sleep because we're tired, we're run down, and we just want to get back to bed. And of course, our stress is high and our work productivity is low. We tend to make more mistakes at work also because our brain is not functioning correctly. And we tend to be more short with people, you know, which is not good. As well. So sleep is very important.
Yeah. And that just goes back to your point about self-care, because mm-hmm. our body talks to us and it's talking to us way before we're exhausted.
Right.
You know, it's talking to us by saying, you're a little off today. Mm-hmm. And we just push it away like, oh, just keep going. You know, oh, mm-hmm. I can do this. You know, it's like,
right.
Like you're saying, that pushing, driving energy. And we really, I think, need to just pay much more attention to what our body's saying to us before the alarms go off and you're in pain or you're,
right.
You know, you're overweight or you're, you know, whatever else happens to you, you've got an illness or something from not paying attention to your body.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. So tell us, I hear you have a free gift for our listeners. Tell us a little
yes,
bit about
I
this.
Yes, I do. Okay. Yeah. Thank you so much. Okay. So my business, like you talked about, my coaching practice is called Transformation Wellness for Women. So I created something that I worked on over the years and kind of added things, took things out and all of that. But I came up with a Transformation Daily 10 Checklist. Mm. Okay, the Transformation Daily 10 Checklist. And basically what that is it's 10 small but powerful actions that any woman can do on a daily basis. And if she does these things, they can completely transform her life. And I'll give just a few of them just to see how simple these things are. One of them is just making your bed every morning. Mm. Okay. And I give an explanation of why that's important and why you should do that. Mm-hmm. Another one is drinking a large glass of water when you wake up in the morning.
Yeah.
Okay. So again, there's 10 of these, and they're actionable steps that you can start doing right now that's going to help you create a healthier and happier life in your 50s. So you can move toward flourishing. And so the Transformation Daily 10 Checklist is very easy to download. You can download it right now. It's on my website. And my website is transformationwellnessforwomen.com, and it's right there on my homepage. You can download it. And yeah, I really hope that people do, and I really hope that they start to take action on these things. Because again, if these 10 things can become automatic in your life, I mean, it can completely change your life for the better. So
that's awesome. Well, thank you so much.
You're welcome.
Thank you so much. And the listeners, you can get the links to Kim's free gift, her website, and her social media pages are on the femana.com in the Women Reconnecting blog area. So those will be listed, and you can just go to that website, the femana.com, look in the blog, and you can get all of Kim's information there. And as always, thank you so much for listening and for your loyalty. And if you liked what you heard, please hop on over to iTunes and give the Women Reconnecting Show a great review. It would be hugely appreciated. And make sure to tune in to the following exciting episode, and we'll see you on the next time.
As always, we appreciate you listening to Women Reconnecting, where you get inspired to reconnect with who you really are and create a life that brings you joy. With each episode, we bring you new strategies to feel your best and discover new possibilities for your life. Make sure to listen again as we bring you new and exciting guests that will help you to keep moving forward along your path so you can have fun, play full out, and really feel alive. Until next time, enjoy life.